to advertise, email podcast@thisismechi.com.
Release yourself from order and logic and enter a new place. It's not work. It's not home. Here, no maps have been drawn. No books have been written. Nothing is certain. Everything is possible. Welcome to podcast and chill with Maggi.
I'm assuming this doesn't end well.
Indaba remene, ladies and gentlemen. Today we've brought you a blast from the past.
Hey,
I'll try to explain who Momilima is to who's our sound guy, Simpio. He didn't know, and he's a hip hop head, bro. But he didn't know who you are.
Momilima,
please tell him, school him for 2 seconds.
But
school
him. Momilima was like famous for like 3 weeks or something. In like 2007. So I understand him.
Man, he's a Motoko icon, man. You know, a lot of people count him in the top 10s and top 5s.
Yeah.
Till today, definitely. You know, not in just Motoko, in hip hop generally, in SA.
Yeah.
It's a big deal, but I like when he comes in.
Yeah.
First thing, it's like, huh? You're running out of guests, you guys. You called me. You're running out of guests. And then you're like, you're LA Audio and David Carr. He's like, you see? They're going down.
Momilima, what's happening, my dog?
What's up, bro? What's up, King?
Legend.
Oh, thank you so much.
Man.
You know, everybody's like, you should go to MacG.
Yeah.
And I just got an invite from dude. Was like,
I'm
listening. You guys are doing a brilliant job.
Thank you, man. Thank you, bro.
You've changed the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've always, I mean, we come from record deals from EMI. We got the worst of it, you know?
Mm.
And in those days, independence was a dream.
Mm.
You couldn't think of, if you were thinking independent, they'll just tell you, wait for 2 years.
Mm.
This one is a bit drunk. He's still famous. You'd not get a deal anywhere in this town. Look how big Joburg is.
Mm.
So, you know, to find a place where we find some independence in the media space, it's so great. And big up to you, brothers.
Thank you, man. We're going to get to the farming shortly, man.
That's cool.
But what you been up to, apart from the farming?
Making babies.
How many are we on now?
I'm behind. I'm only on 4. It's not good.
I mean, it's what farmers do. What else can you do, my man, besides
That's
farming?
That's true, right?
You gotta plant the seed. Yeah.
Procreate.
Plant the seed.
I want to chat about Motswako, bro.
Yeah.
Because we pretty much started the first time at the same time at YFM. I was just starting at YFM.
Yeah.
And I used to play Momilima's music. That's how I got introduced to him, you know?
Yeah.
And then we'd meet at gigs and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know how Motswako originally started. Yeah. Like, can you break it down for us?
Yeah, man.
I mean, everybody has his own story. Of course, hip hop has no, everywhere. Everybody claims hip hop in his own street. Everyone will always say it started in his street, but I'm sure it's the same in Brooklyn. Everybody will claim.
Yeah, for sure.
It was not on the 3rd street, it was on the 6th.
Yeah.
When we heard the word Motswako, of course, let's give a bit of context, right? The 90s, 1994, it's freedom. The world is upside down in South Africa. Kwaito, boom. Kwaito was so crazy. It's bigger than anything else we'll ever see ever again. You know, Kwaito was in everywhere in our lives. But at the same time, gangster rap or American hip-hop was now really making it globally, right? So this is the rise of Tupac, this is the rise of the Nas's and the Biggies and so on. So, of course, go back a little bit, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, the Tone Logs, Criss Cross was huge. It really turned, it all turned us into hip hoppers, you know? Mm. Jump, the man that'll make you. Yeah, MC Hammer came into the picture, Can't Touch This, Vanilla Ice. So that culture in Mafikeng was big because we had Bob TV and it was playing everything American, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and all these stuff. So everybody was getting into hip hop like that, but then Kwaito came up. When Kwaito comes, it's like, hey, blocked the whole spot.
Yeah.
So, you know, we go with the years, you know, and one day you have to sit and think, like, but you know, people hate hip hop. They really hate people hated rappers. You know, if you were rapping, they said, oh, but we get a girl to a stage.
Arimo stage.
Yeah. It was really serious back then, you know. They would actually give you a beating for wearing a baseball cap or something like that.
Wait, you get a beating?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely get a beating for trying to act American, you know. So, 95, 96, around about that time. That's when Stone had joined Tebe and them with the Bongo Muffin. Mm. And, you know, he started gaining a little bit of prominence. And the way he explains it, there was some promo they had to do, where he had to do something like, this is the remix. This
yes.
is the... And he just changed it into Setswana. It's like, this is Motswako. This is Motswako. Mm. You know, so that's how the word becomes popular. Wow. But he was not the only one doing Setswana raps. You know, Prof from Bafikili was. And Prof and Blacksmith. Mm. They'd hooked up with Glenn Lewis and they were doing something at that time. And there was a guy in Botswana called Nomadic. He was also releasing some stuff in Setswana language. And this is like 96 and so on. Wow. So it wasn't really taking off.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, but some people were trying it out because when we thought hip hop, it was English. Mm. You couldn't do hip hop in any other language other than English. Mm-hmm. Because at that time, we were still competing with who can speak better English, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, English was still a measure of intelligence back then. So... now we have a lot of fools who speak English. It's all the same.
Yeah, yeah.
We're all exposed.
We're all exposed.
So much for Model C education.
Hey, bro.
So, yeah, but this is the 90s, right? So it was really just not until Jabba came in, you know?
Hmm.
Jabba, I think they had signed in with Verbal Assassins when they were still at St. Albans and through Chico. But 99, when he left school, he went to LMB. I was at JCE in Parktown. Used to hook up there. And then I don't know how he did it. He managed to get a deal with EMI CCP2 through Vosilio. And Vosilio was like, hey, who are you? No, I'm Jabba, man. Like, you do a bit of Pantula and a bit of hip-hop. You're hip-hop Pantula.
Wow.
Like, you're crazy. Wow.
Gave him the name.
Yeah, he's like, no, you're crazy, man. Wow. Like, it's Jabba, man. I was like, okay. And then they did the album introduction, and they didn't even tell him the album was out. He just heard somebody, he saw the album at OK, he ran there to go buy his own CD. When he got it, it was like hip-hop and soul.
Wow.
That's how it happened.
Wow.
Okay, yeah, but when he came into the game, you know, Kwetu was now at his highest, you know, Tupac, TKZ was killing it, Mendoza was coming in. Now, like, this is like 99, 2000, like... There was no space for rap.
Mm.
You go to a rap concert, they'll just stone you. Literally. Mm. Basically, they'll just bottle you out of the gig. There are a few guys who were doing some rap back then. I don't remember them. So some Zimbabwean guy. I don't remember. Before Mischief? No, before Mischief.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you if I do remember him. But anyway, Jabba came in after that summer, he went back home. He's like, hey, you know, I was still kicking it with Morafi, which was Todi, myself, Cooley, and KG, you know. And we had a name called L Tribe.
Mm.
Yeah, L Tribe. And but then there was this group that came out, Tribe. Diba, diba, diba.
Yes.
I was like, these guys have messed up our flow now. We don't know what to call ourselves. So Jabba came, he's like, you know, I'm Rafi. Yeah, like, yeah. Then wow. That's how Rafi started.
You Rafi.
Yeah. Then Jabba did that. And then he's just like, dudes, man, you guys need to come with me. Like, dog, what do you mean? Like, I'm gonna pay for your bus ticket. Let's go to Jersey. Let's see what we can do.
Mm.
Yeah, then that's it. We just jumped on a bus, rocked up here. We did a few recordings for his next album, Yam of Town. It was a long slog. The following year we moved in with him while he was still studying at Rau.
Mm.
Yeah, and then stayed a whole year with him in his flat. It was tough times then, you know.
Sure.
People don't know how tough it was during those record deals days, though. Yeah, like if record companies were not listening, that's it. Your dream was
dead. It's rap.
That's a rap. There's no internet. There's no home studio. There's nothing like that.
Mm.
You know, if you don't get a record deal, you don't make it. Finish.
Mm.
One in a million makes it. So, Jabba took us in and we hustled together like that. You know, it was hard, but. We pushed through, you know. The story is long. We'll write about it one day.
Mm.
But, it's through his vision that the Motswako thing picked up because he started pulling in a lot of guys trying to create one big thing. When we go on a show, we're all there together, because he's like, look, I feel isolated. Every time I go to a gig, it's all the Zulu guys with their Kwaito and me and my Setswana. So at least...
if there's a lot of us.
It's a lot of us. It's much better. And, you know, he put a lot of money on the table to make it happen from the beginning of his career right to the end, you know. Like, from Morafi right up to Casper, there's like 100 people that Jeba put on. You know, now I always say Jeba could have been one of the first guys to drive Ferraris in the game, because he was the very first in hip hop with endorsements.
Yeah. More status and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, but he was putting it back in the game.
Or whatever. Yeah.
He put it all of it back in the game. All of it. All of it. So we can never forget that. So, you know, Motoko came with that first. And on the second leg, it was YFM. YFM, gave us an opportunity, you know. Back then, who's the sister of ours? Lee.
Lee Kasumba.
Lee called us every day, each and every one of us, dropped a message and SMS for everyone, checked on us, check how we were doing, took us out for lunches, made sure that we like family, because when they moved from Uganda first, they lived in Taung for a little bit and then they moved to Mavtown. So she had lived for a few years in Mavtown before she came to Joburg. So we had that camaraderie. But then, yeah, she made sure that we were going to the front line all the time.
Wow.
So big up to Lee Kasumba for that. But everybody else embraced us, you know. Bofresh, we were very close with Jeba because he was a people's person, you know. And yeah, Bad Boy T, Lee, Rude Boy. Sansa. Yeah, all those cats. Yeah, they put us on. I mean, you could do a song now and go to YFM and drop it and plays in the evening, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, so they, and, you know, YFM, that's before, YFM was still a community station then, you know, but our music was able to blow nationwide because of that platform, you know, and, my album came out in 2007. Dukes had already been out, Morafi had already been out, Jeba was now on top of the game, and I think by the time I came out, there was almost now Motsoko exhaustion, like too many of these.
Hey, chill with all that.
We don't need so many of these.
But now, bro, what happened? So you I think you said you're part of Morafi, but we were introduced to Morafi as three guys. Yeah. What happened between, you know, when you were there and then?
Because always been the general. We had a mission, and it took us 10 years. And when we started, maybe there was 20 of us. You know, and when we were at the last door, we had to make that decision that the formula works with three guys better than four.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah. What formula?
The music. The music.
So it's better when there's three people?
Yeah, there's three rappers and a vocalist. Two rappers and a vocalist.
But I think, I mean, you're doper than, I mean, well...
No, there's no doper.
How did it get to you being the one God?
Because I made those decisions. Everybody who had left before, I had made those decisions. Like, we don't need him. Okay. Until I had to make the decision, like, okay, I'm stepping out. You guys go. And then we had a year where we worked together towards getting the deal. And I was still with the group, but I had already quit. So we had to put on together a demo, go record, raise the funds, go to Klerksdorp, record it, go back, get it to Tasso, mix it. And then they came with it and brought it to Lance. And that at that time, I had already started farming full time. And so, it made sense to me, you know, because I easily understand that music has very little to do with talent, but it everything to do with personality.
Okay.
Yeah, the people need to... relate. Doesn't matter how talented you are, it's nothing to do with it. That's why hip hop right now it's full of people who are so famous, but we don't know what music they do. That's what it is.
Yeah.
But it's always been like that.
Yeah.
The more it's now exposed on TV and it's more visual, it has become even more prominent.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, you don't have to have a single...
You didn't choose yourself because you felt you lacked the personality.
Yeah, I just always knew I lacked the personality. I don't like people. I don't like the attention. It was just all sucky.
You'd rather be around crops.
Yeah, I mean...
they're more interesting than people.
Yeah, cabbages. Tomorrow it's still at the same place.
Ha, 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 ha,
That's it. Yeah. So, you know, so I stayed like, I think a year, and I started picking, I picked up quickly, you know, because I had grown up in a farm, you know, and there was some stuff happening at home. We had lost our house in the town. You know, my dad had been in this legal battle with the government. Okay, that's another story for another day. Mm. Because when the ANC government came in 94, they wanted to, what is the word they use? Expropriate our farms because we're from Botswana, you know? Mm. Yeah, but it's easy to bully black people, you know? Mm. Yeah, because you're afraid of black white people. It's so funny. When you walk around, you find like John Smart, DF Malan on the streets, you know? But when you go to MAF, the first thing they did is destroy anything Mangope. Yeah, but somebody says, you know, that's how abuse works. You know, if your boss hits you at home, at work, you come back and hit your wife.
Oh,
and your wife hits the kids.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, you know. So anyway, that's a long story. So he had been in that battle with them, and things were. So I said to Dad, "No, I want to join you on the farm and help you." He said, "No, okay, if you're ready, we can do it." You know. So I had that advantage of having grown up.
What
in two worlds.
What age is this?
22.
22. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So like, no. While I was at university, I did some research. It was a competition for Department of Finance on priorities of the state, of the provincial state. And when I was doing my BCom and then part of my research, I just realized the potential of agriculture, you know, in a big way.
You know? So if you didn't choose to step aside, do you think you would have still gone back to farming?
I think part of stepping aside was pursuing this farming thing. Mm. For me, in the long term, farming was going to sustain me, you know. Music was like 5 years, but farming was forever.
And you knew that at that age?
Yes. That's why I did it then. Okay? I knew that ahead of the curve, today I'll be mumbling here.
There was no pressure from your parents saying, get a real job.
No, my parents had never told me anything in my life. Just, what do you want to do? I want to go to the moon. Okay. Do your thing.
But how do you figure out? Because, I mean, dog, you've been working 10 years to get to this level. Now you're at the last hurdle. Yeah. It's so close. Yeah.
Smell it.
Yeah. You can touch smell it.
Yeah, I mean.
And you could see this is not going to last.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Kuli is basically my nephew.
Sure.
Literally, not basically. He's literally by generation.
Mm.
Yeah, he's the whole. Todi Kingwana Kamangwan is my auntie's child. We grew up in the same house since we were born.
Mm-hmm.
And KG grew up two houses from Kuli's house.
Yeah.
So he went to school with Todi.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to play together, all four of us, from the time we were kids. Mm-hmm. So coming into our teenagehood and to the age of blow up, you could not separate the business from family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and their success was always my success. If Murafe blows up, I'm blowing up.
Oh, I get you.
Yeah, that was the thinking. And there was never like falling out. Mo is there. We stick together. Like I say, even after I quit, I work for an extra year to put together the final piece. Mm. Yeah, so we can get the deal, you know. And even those days, it was even so worse. Every time they made a meeting or had a deal or something was happening, they would actually travel back to MAF Town, catch a taxi to go have a meeting with me, the four of us, so we can have a new strategy. They'll catch a taxi back.
No, but I want to know, how did you know, like, this music thing is not sustainable? Like, how did you come to that conclusion?
I don't think it was about music not being sustainable. It was just an issue of, I knew farming was so much more bigger. I mean, there's 8 billion people who eat every day.
I get you.
At least twice.
And you see that at home, you're comfortable. We're making a living from this.
This is my family thing.
Heritage.
My grandfather, yeah, it's my heritage. It's there. I grew up in a farm and I know what it is there. So for me, it was.
And there's no people.
You see, so the decision was more about that, was about the future. And I was like, I know I can do this quick. So, you know, I was picking up very, very quickly, but Jabba kept coming back, you know, he's that ancestor. You drive all the way to MAF Town, go to the farm. They would sit down with buddies, I don't know, the cattle headers.
Mm.
Yeah, we're at the farm. They would sit under the farm. We have a plant and we'd sit the whole night. And he'd be like, dude, you need to come back. Mm. The game needs you. We're like, dude, the game don't need me. You guys are cool. We've done the hard work and we're about to blow up. So I'm here. I was like, yeah, I see everything you do here, but the game needs you, bro. Mm. Kept coming back, coming back. The last time he came, Proverb was out with...
Letter to My Ex.
No, no, no. What was the first album? My Manuscript?
The Book of Proverb. The Proverb. The Book of Proverb. Yeah.
Pro Kid was out. Phew.
Tails and Heads.
Yeah. Morafu was out. Maruabula. Dukes was out.
Hey.
Mafuku Ame. And Jabba was trying to come out that same year. And he was like, dude, it's tough this year. At least help me.
Yeah.
So, we're chilling there having a blast, and he plays this song by Amu. If you see me walking down the street. Oh, my God, go crazy. And I start rapping there immediately. But say, look, don't be too friendly, I'll be la. Some patla makhale wonsu witi hakina. King wana bokuwe. Ki tutari tse la ke paponi. At that time, you know, every time I was working on the fields, because I was doing mainly vegetables.
Yes.
I'd write songs, you know, like a song like Fuck Off. I'd write it while I'm working on the fields.
Yeah.
Yeah, with that silent and those birds and...
Wow.
Life was almost, you know, and I used to interact a lot with the Rastas as well. They had a lot of influence in my younger days. There were a big Rasta movement in Mufftown at those
times. Did you ever write any raps for Jabba?
No, I never read anything for Jabba. Jabba was a writer in his own.
You never wrote anything for anyone?
No, no, I've never. I've never. I think Todi, growing up, he started so many rap groups.
Okay.
You know, he was that cat who could get three guys who knew nothing about rap, teach them how to rap each, give them a style each, write a verse for them each. You know, yeah, hey, Todi was crazy. I would have never been in rap music if it wasn't for Todi because, you know, living on the farms, I didn't have many friends.
Yeah.
When I go to town, I go to Todi's house.
Yeah.
And everything, all the time, all he wanted to do was music ever since he was a kid.
Wow. And did you know Cooley would be the breakout star?
Cooley was a star since he was a kid. Mm. You know, even before we were rapping, he was just popular like that. He had a popping pop personality, you know.
It always seemed
parents liked them. You know what I mean.
Mm.
And when we grew older, all the girls liked them. Mm. You know? So everybody could always see that he would actually be a breakup. But his personality has always been introverted. You know,
yes.
He found a lot of comfort in the group, other than trying to break out. It was very hard to get him to a position where to break up on his own, break out on his own. You know, he's always found so much more comfort within the group setup, you know. Because, I mean, even in our teenage years, he was the youngest in a way.
Yes.
Little brother. And we like, looked out for him. And so we worked around that, you know. And just telling him we had to, every time I've been in the hostel, boarding school, when I come in holidays, you have to call him, look, we have a meeting on a Friday. We organize them, you know. General, get the things moving. So... would buy singles, CD singles. Then they were sending CD singles. So that's where we got our instrumentals.
Mm.
Had to buy a lot of them to create an album. So once we have enough singles, this happened every holidays. We have, during the year, we use our pocket money to buy singles. We get instrumentals, enough to fill up a TDK tape.
TDK tape,
yeah. So once we do a beat selection, we write songs for all the songs. Then we go to radio to dub from CD to tape. So we put on the mics and we hook it up and then we make a full tape. Okay. So there's no backups, there's no doubling, there's nothing. We have to get it right from the
first take. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. All every time. So this is what we did every holidays until we perfected the art, you know? That's why even when we started recording,
it was simple.
Yeah, it was very simple. Mm. We didn't have to go back. We just could go in the studio, all of us at once, and hit once.
So when you're farming, don't you miss all of that? Don't you miss being in the studio?
Yeah, of course, at that time, when I was still young and studying farming, rap was still popping, like I say.
Yeah.
Songs just came to my head. I could write
verses. You never thought, like, let me leave this farming shit?
Farming had a future, bro. Farming had a future. And there was a purpose. There was a cause. And, you know, I say I was with the Rastas and... I was into Fidel Castro and Che Guevara and Lumumba, and I was into Ama Cabral, I was into Sankara. Yeah, you know, so my mind was, and you know, all the socialist revolutions had to do with agrarian reform, you know, how the people must feed themselves first. Freedom, there's no freedom if you can't feed yourself. So you South Africans, you're not free. Never been, okay?
Yeah.
If you're not able to grow your own food, it's no way you can be free. Okay? So these were the ideas that was running my mind, you know, and Marafi were guys, they just wanted to...
Vibes.
Want a vibe, man. Get some pussy, you know. It's too much, bro. It's too much, man.
So
Chekovaras and just so farming was good, you know. Yeah. So Jeva, you know, so he comes, he plays this song, and he's like, dude, let's make a deal. I drive you to Joburg now. Tomorrow we're recording at Amu Studio. Mm. The following day, I'm bringing you back right here and I'm paying you money.
Yeah.
Like, you can do that for me? He's like, definitely. Mm. We got in the car immediately. He had this maroon car called the Zamborghini.
Yeah.
It was a 5 Series.
Sure.
Zamborghini. Josie first got to Amu Studio. Bah. I think he was still staying, close to Eagles Canyon there.
Okay.
Yeah, we got there. You know, you get there and, you know, Amu just gives you that, like, another one. So other guys.
Yeah, there's too many of them.
Yeah, but, you know, I hit the verse, he's like, ooh!
Shit.
Something there. Mm. Okay, so it's cool. In the evening, we're, like, getting drunk, getting blunted, and Jemma's like, okay, let's pass by Rob and Day by, what's the studio?
Downtown Studio?
No, Robin's studio. Robin, Jazzworks.
Okay.
In the very back. Yeah. So he was doing the album there with Steve. So he went there to go listen to the other tracks. And then when we got there, they played this song. Yeah. Who's this cat now? Why would I forget? Battle Cat.
Mm.
Tango Gora.
Yeah. They played this beat. And I was like, I have something. Do you want to record, Mo? He's like, yeah, man. Let me jump in and hear something. That's when I recorded Fuck Off. Yeah, I just hit it once. I remember Squad was still busy with the album that they were there in the studio that day. I think they were in studio 2 and we were in studio 1. And when I was getting to the second stanza, they all came into my studio. I was like, yo, it's this cat recording on that side.
Mm.
You know, and when they came into the room and I was like, ooh. And when I saw them and the reaction, I think it was the very first time in my life when I thought, yeah, you got this.
Yeah, I got this.
You got this, bro. You know, but then I did that. Went back to the farms, got on with my life. until Jemma's album came out, you know, YBA to Northwest.
Yes.
Yeah, and it put me in a spotlight very quickly. Mm. You know, and I was like, that's the fourth member of Mafia. You know what?
Mm.
Yeah, you know, and coincidentally, I had a deal with the state to plant sunflowers then with FNB Bank. Advertise those.
No, it's fine.
It's a deal that happened.
Yeah, so, and then the bank would come up with a 60% loan, 40% the government would give us a grant, and and then would plant, we'll do this job. And we did the job, and guess what? The government didn't come up with the 40%.
Government.
The bank pushed my loan up to 80%. So I can get the job done, but came the last mile when I had to do the harvest now. I didn't even have a cent to work. And you know, like a crop takes like 6 months. It's hard work, you know? And I was so angry. Like,
How much was the deal worth?
No, man, it was still cheap then. I mean, I think it was like 200,000.
Okay.
But when you have nothing, it's everything.
It's everything, exactly.
You know, and you're 23 years old.
Mm.
You're like, this is my entrance into the game. I'm big time. From here, I'm bankable. I'm going big. Boom. So they pulled a stunt on me and they didn't come up with the money. The crop didn't do well. There was bad damage. I took too long to harvest and the crop was bad. And I think I harvested like 0.6 tons a hectare, which is not good. On sunflower, you need an average of about a ton to do well. So I had a little bit of shortfall with the bank. Bank wanted their money. Government didn't want anything to do with me. That's how I recorded Fuck Off. You know, I was so angry.
Because the song is still relevant even today. I mean, Swang Mopala Mintang Yarona.
It's more relevant. It's coming back. Even more, it's coming back big time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so Fuck Off. You know, like, you can't, like, abuse me like this, you know?
Mm.
But that's fine. So we did that. And then I had a bit of a shortfall and I was just crazy.
What's your favorite Jabba song of all time?
Oh, you caught me off guard, man. Yeah, you really caught me
off guard.
That's
my job, yeah. I'm plowing now.
Nah, what a man.
It'll have to be Khudira Khalam.
Yes! Khudira Khalam! Yes!
Which one is
yo! That? Yo! You don't know Khudira Khalam? Yes!
Khudira
yes. No.
When I look after that yourself, Khudira Khalam.
We are familiar about the ABCs, private schools.
Okay, about the IEBs.
Yeah. Wow. I was listening to it last week.
We were in studio with him actually when we recorded. Wow. We had just recorded Abobah, and I had never seen Jabba on that level before.
And what he's saying is still relevant.
Till today,
till this day.
Yeah, so Jabba was a beast in that way, you know?
Sure.
So, you know.
Yeah, I thought I was the only person in SA who likes that song, bro.
That's a big song, man. Yeah. All the Jabba fans really know. Mm. So, you know, like, the first thing didn't work out, and now hip hop was popping. You like think, like, there's God just telling you, follow your dream, you know, go do your two. Yeah, so that's how I came back, and signed a deal with Jabba. Jabba's like, dude, you know, you hear a way of tricking me, you know? Mm. So it's like, I'll sign you for one album. Now we've moved from one song to another. Just one. Then you can go back.
Yes,
are you sure?
Yes.
You really, really sure? Just one album, Mo, and then you'll go. So that's a whole chapter.
Yeah.
But point is, after I did my first album, got 2 summer nominations.
Wow.
After the summers, I packed up my bag and I left. And I never forget when I was picking up my bags, Kabomo came to my house. He was looking for one thing or another. He's like, where are you going, man? I was like, no, my work is done here.
Yeah.
I'm leaving. Like, where are you going? I was like, I'm going back home, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just came here to do this one thing and I'm done. It's like, who gets done in this game? You just started.
When you're at the top. Did you at the top?
Hey, man, I love your mind, man. It's special, eh?
Like, yeah, very, bro.
I'm done. Yeah, but no, man, you know, every time I would smoke, then I would get like paranoid, all the traffic. Like, dude, I must go back to my cabbage, eh? Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Let's talk about your farm, bro. So what are you farming? How many hectares do you have?
Yeah.
What does it look like?
When I was born in the 80s, my dad has already been in the farming business for a long time, working for government and farming, like a lot of people started. But at the time when I was born, he managed to lease a real farm, you know. I think it was about 520 hectares big. So it's very small. It's very small. I must tell you. Yeah, it's too small. But it was big enough then. And I think a few years later.
520 hectares.
Yeah.
It's small.
Yeah, it's small. Small.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Farming is a numbers game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really need the numbers. You know, you really need the numbers.
Yeah, can we get a fan in here, man?
Yeah.
Niggas boiling, man.
Yeah, man. Hey, man, you've been sweating.
But used to this. He's a farmer.
Yeah, no, heat is not a problem for me.
Yeah.
It's just like maybe it looks bad on TV.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
Yeah, anyway. So a few years later, he managed to build a house on the farm and move the whole family there. So, primary school was a real bitch. You know, like we had to wake up early in the morning, drive 30 kilometers to town in the afternoon, go back to the farm, weekends on the farm, no electricity, you know. So it was a real tough environment. But after you grow up, then you realize, oh, thanks, Dad, because now I know everything.
Thank you.
You know,
I can survive,
The whole thing is ingrained in my system.
Yeah.
Yeah, to become a farmer for me. Yeah, it's like a backhand slap.
So how many hectares you got now?
No, we're still keeping on the farm. It's a family farm. It's not my farm. It's the family farm. Fortunately, we just lost my dad last December. So, I'm practically like in charge, but on behalf of the whole family.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my sister is there. She's doing the farm management. She calls every 10 minutes. She called just now.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Man.
So I'm working from Joburg now. You know?
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys do vegetables. I know you got a farmer's market as well.
Yes. So, yeah, I'll come to that while I'm in Joburg. So the farm is there. We've been working there for doing a bit of cattle, did goats, bit of chicken, like a mixed farm, you know?
Beautiful.
Yeah. So, and crops. So, you know, it's been up and down. Farming is not... for the majority of people in the business, it's not an easy job.
Yeah.
No, not at all. Yeah. There's some people who want to make it as if it's they have arrived. But some of them are because they've been fortunate to be beneficiaries of corruption, you know. People wash their money on the farms now. It's a thing. So.
Oh, they wash money.
Yeah, they wash money everywhere. I wonder why they haven't started with podcasts. They wash money everywhere. Yeah, we're waiting.
Okay, so how would you wash money? How would you wash money in a farm?
We're hoping for business.
Come. Wash it. Yeah.
Yes, you, Edwin. Yes.
Yes.
Same way you do in the club.
Same way.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, you know, all the people who are... making some sort of success in any other kind of industry, they always end up in farming because that's what their tax advisor advises them to do. Because now if you buy two cows and in 3 years they're six.
Two cows is two bottles of grandeur in the club, okay?
So, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but in a year now they're four.
Oh, yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, and in 4 years they've doubled, you know, their
value.
Eight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, point is, if you have now eight cows and now you come back to me as the tax collector and say, I have three, how am I going to prove it?
Mm. True. And then all the unwashed money, you keep it in the couch in the farm.
There you go. Well, we are simplifying
it. After you're done washing it.
No, I mean, once you, whether you're selling it at auction or you're selling it privately or whatever you're doing.
Please explain. I'm laughing, but I'm a bit lost.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit more complex than that.
You know? Or you can refer a Sudanese businessman to then say the money's from there.
I think
pay.
To simplify it, let's say... it's very difficult to track money in that space.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what washing money is all about.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so, but anyway, they track the stuff. Farming is...
Have you checked out Jeremy Clarkson's farmhouse?
Yes. Not farmhouse. I think he had a series where he was
on learning
how to farm.
Yes.
Yeah, he was buying a tractor and getting
fucking
started.
Fucking beautiful. I love that shit.
Yeah.
And that's what I understood. Yo, no, this is no child's play.
I love what Jeremy did there because... He experienced it as it goes.
Yes. And it's so entertaining.
I didn't think this thing was so hard. I spent all my money.
So he bought a cow, I don't know what, the female cow, right? And her whole job is just to produce more cows for him, right? And he got this very expensive bull.
Yeah.
But now he's invested so much money in getting this cow pregnant. They've done all the things and whatever. She's just not getting pregnant. So how the season ends, they're like, bro, you gotta have to... You know, get rid of it. Because it's just
the
chow. Yeah, it's a dud. It's just chow in the grass. It's not producing anything.
Yeah.
It's not doing its job.
Yeah, it's
so he looks at the camera. It's like, honey, we've got a new pet.
Yeah, he bought a tractor.
Yeah. Check that out.
He couldn't get the parts.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what farming is all. It's too many moving parts. Too many things can go wrong because you're farming with nature. And farming against nature at the same time.
How's the thing? Is it interrupting the sound?
Yeah, it is. But
but it's fine, eh? Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah.
So, for instance, this weekend, the whole farm went on fire. Our farm.
Jeez!
The whole farm.
It happens every year. There are some fools who are always, and it always happens all over the weekends. Every year, when it dry season, expect to be felt fires. Okay? So it's obviously drunk people. I don't know if it's on purpose or whatever they do, but fortunately, we'd already harvested. So there wasn't so much loss. When you are there and it's happening, it looks bad because fell fire is... But we're used to it, you know, as long as there's no losses, no animals lost and no crops lost, the rains come and it's green again.
Knowing what you know now, do you regret the decision you made to choose farming?
I regret ever choosing hip-hop.
Okay.
Because I would have been so much further farming, you know. I've lost a lot of credit from people who were supposed to help me. Who just say, "But this guy is just a famous, he's a celebrity."
Oh, I get you.
Trying to undermine our profession.
Yeah. And for too long, even it still happens even till today. You know, every time something comes up at the department, it's like, "Hey, this guy has been pushing guys. Let's giving him 100 cows there." Like, "Hey, isn't this guy a rapper? He's benefiting there." Arts and culture.
Arts and culture, yes.
Yeah. Mm. When my name comes up at arts and culture, I'm like, isn't this guy a farmer? Mm. It's benefiting the head.
They did the same to Jeremy. They're like, stick to TV.
Yeah. Everybody's territorial like that. So we had not moved to that world of people doing multiple things. And today it's a thing, you know?
Yeah.
You can be that and that. And
of course.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah,
coming up, it was very strange, you know? And of course, natural is just always a lot of jealousy, you know? People think you'll tell their farm wives. No, just leave me alone. I'm just trying to.
Did you stay in touch with any of the guys that were in the game like during your farming days? Like, did you stay in touch with anyone?
I didn't know anybody, man. I didn't have time for trying to get around and be one of the guys now, man.
Nah.
Yeah, I had one thing to do 1 year and I was out.
Bro, you're living my life, bro. Some days I just want to pack up and go back to the farm, bro. Yeah, man.
It's quieter.
Yeah, man. It's life. It's pure quality of life.
Cabbage, You leave it here. It's still here, right? It doesn't want. It doesn't drink. It doesn't want.
It's not crying, you know. Like,
hey, guys, can I go back to the farm? I've reached 3 million subscribers. My job is done.
Your job is done.
My job is done, guys. I just want to farm, bro.
It's hard work, man. It's hard work. You must know, farming is when you're basically dealing with life.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's plants or animals, that means 24/7, 365 care. When you're a farmer, you can't go on holiday.
Mm.
Okay, you can't take time off. Anything can happen. Animals can get sick.
Mm.
You know, there can be like what you call this thing? Locusts can come overnight.
Mm.
There could be a worm infection. You know, there can be heat wave. Everything dies. Anything can happen any day. Can be hailstorm. It can be too much rain. It can be little rain.
Why choose all that trouble, man?
It's purpose, bro.
Purpose,
it's
passion. Purpose.
People
purpose,
has always passion. Have a need to eat. That's why the first profession ever must have been farming, because it doesn't matter who you are or where you are or what you do. Eat you must.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, even if you are trying to kill yourself.
Hey, how's the white monopoly in the farming space?
Of course, in South Africa, farming is a... It's the backbone of the Africans' economy.
Mm.
Okay? Yeah. And they're not doing anything illegal. They just put in the work. They put in the hours. They're putting in the research. They put their money on their block. They put their lives on the line, because it's very dangerous to be a white farmer in this country, you know.
Wait, so that's a fact?
Yeah.
What do you mean it's dangerous?
You get killed.
Don't black farmers get attacked?
Yeah, my dad was attacked last
year. Yeah, I read about
that. Yeah.
Read about that.
Yeah, but they don't get attacked. They get killed. You know? And a farm is isolated. Okay?
Mm.
There's no neighbors. Your next door neighbor is like 5 kilometers away.
That's why I'm thinking then all farmers get attacked based on the fact that they are solitary.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then it so happens that most farmers are white.
Yeah,
they're not getting attacked because they are white farmers.
Yes.
They're getting attacked because they are farmers.
Yes,
and they are alone in the
and they are rich.
Bush. And they're rich.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't say it's dangerous to be a white farmer just to be a farmer.
No, but because demographics show us that it's more white farmers that get attacked, means they could be targeted.
Wow,
we can't rule out a political motive. We can't.
Crazy, man.
You can't.
Is it political or it's just crime? Like, I can get robbed,
shot
dead outside.
The crime is there.
And it's not going up. My race.
But you can't rule out the political motive.
Hmm.
There's history in this country. We live it every day.
So, with that said then, what's your opinion on the whole Julius song, Kill the Farmer?
Yeah. I think it's irresponsible.
Hmm.
I think it's irresponsible for him to be doing that. For whatever he's trying to achieve with it. But I feel it's irresponsible because it's people's lives on the line. We are not at war here. You know, if literally we were at war, there'll be something else as a war chant. But in today's times, South Africa, we've always been teetering on the brink of disaster. Since
94.
People will be saying this country will be down and out. But
when you sit down with white farmers, what are they saying?
White farmers are the coolest, man. They just want to get work done.
For real?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of black farmers you'll see who have become very successful, not a little successful. I'm talking billionaires, okay? None of them can ever claim to have made it without white farmers helping them.
Ah.
None. Not even one.
So
where is this racism coming from that we see on social media?
But is it the farmers?
Hmm.
No, it's UCT people who are taking farmers.
Now in Brits, for example, two farmers were caught with a body.
Yeah.
We've seen the video of a guy being put in a coffin as well by farmers.
Yeah.
We hear a lot of farm workers saying, you know,
the cruelty
that they are being met with by farmers, their bosses.
Yeah.
And they pay them shit. Like, they're rich, but pay the guys 2,000 a month, some of them.
Yeah. And go around and ask black farmers and their workers, and if they are getting, like, steak for lunch or something. They're worse off.
Hmm.
Okay? Just nobody's trying to profile what black farmers are doing. It's the same.
Doesn't make it right, though.
No, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's just that it's an industry thing. It's not a racial thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not here to protect the...
Yes, of course.
You speak in your reality, yes. What you observe.
Yes.
So
yes.
What do you say about people that say if black people got all the land back within a day, it'll turn into shits?
Will be it's giving Zimbabwe vibes. Yeah. You know, with what happened there with their farms.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at how industrious Zimbabweans are generally here in South Africa, they do just about everything.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, you would have to believe that certainly they can farm. So what is collapsing the country? It's the sanctions. It's the lack of capital because farming is expensive. Okay? You can be a hard worker. You can have all the knowledge if you have no access to capital and proper capital, okay? Because white farmers, they don't talk to ordinary bank watwas. They talk to the bank manager. Okay, because they are holding the food security of the country in their hands. You can have all the gold and all the money and all, but if there's no food, we have a disaster.
Yeah, that's true, man. Okay. Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, the quickest this country can become hell is for people to not have food.
So if the white farmers leave, we'd be fine in SA.
If the white farmers leave, then we are going to enter civil war. Because people are going to come into your house to get food. That. Hungry will eat the rich.
So I'm going to eat Saul.
If you're hungry, you will eat Saul.
You look finish yummy. Me, dog. You don't know where to start, boy. You'll finish me, man.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's the quickest way you can... And there's nothing else that can make this country like... it's hardened people here. But the quickest we can get to a very abnormal situation is for people not to have food. Okay, this is why our government is making efforts to have these 350 grants, and we don't like them as taxpayers, but let the people go hungry. Then you will see. And we are very close. Very close. Very close. The poverty in this country is real, and people don't have the skill to grow their own food. People can keep 10 chickens in the backyard and a little plot and to sustain themselves. People literally depend on going to the store to buy food.
Because of all the malls in the township.
Because of how we have been socialized. Okay?
But in my entire life, I've only seen like one agricultural university.
Yeah.
I think it was around Taung, but in the Northwest, no?
Yeah.
So we should have more of those kind of things. College, actually. Yeah.
Look, I mean, there are a lot of ways. You know, construction is a huge opportunity in terms of infrastructure development. And of course, IT and, you know, the entertainment business, where we're going with internet now. There's growth everywhere, but I think agriculture has the easiest, the low-hanging fruit to reach the uneducated and the poorest of the poor, especially those who are in far-flung areas. There's nothing you can't do in agriculture anywhere, including even in the city. Okay, we can grow food on our roofs. We can grow food indoors. I know we grow only wheat indoors, but we could actually grow food indoors. We can do it. Just about anything. So,
Where are you at right now in terms of your journey into farming? Are you where you want to be, or is there still more you want to
achieve? Dude, you know, I'm in the game 20 years and I'm like at 15%.
Fuck me.
Yeah, but it's not because it's mainly because I'm a scatterbrain. I could have made better decisions. But I've learned a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 100%, what does 100% look like?
And 100% is 2-3 generations down the line.
Wow.
Yeah, my grandkids or great-grandkids. Yeah.
So it's not more land?
No, it's just more hard work. Because of my socialist leaning and so on, I've always been on this Shakavara thing, like, I don't need land, man. What I need is product on the land. I don't need to own land. I don't want to even own land, okay? I just want the product on the land. Whether I'm leasing the land, whether you are farming and giving me your product, doesn't matter. That's where I'm at in terms of in this game.
And then when you reach out to these politicians, you have a conversation like you have now. What are they saying? What do they say to you?
Which politicians, man? You know, I've always found that it's very difficult, especially in agriculture, because you find a lot of our comrades, they want quick turns, things that can happen now, and there'll be a kickback next weekend.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
Now, when you talk farming, it's like you're talking 2 generations. I'll call you, bro.
Yes.
Bright ideas. Wrong time. Yeah. So, you know, it is what it is. My MEC back home, agriculture MEC, Desbo Mohono, she's like a sister to me. We've been for a very long time. She's very open-minded. And I've never been out there, give me, you know. It's just, I've always loved the idea that her home is open to me. I can go in anytime, sit and have a discussion about this, that, their development. You know, as a Shakovara guy, I've never believed in stealing from the people. You know, I don't subscribe to that. There's a video going around, some guys in the hood, they're calling some official from the government, who happens to be my friend, be like, "Hey, Makau, raiyito robele do tsa go molemi." Yeah. People think I'm rich for some reason because it's easy to.
Are you rich though?
I'm so poor, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm a socialist as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, poverty doesn't define me.
I got you.
Yeah, I'm defined by my ideas.
You said you were going to tell us why you wanted to come to, why you had to come to Joburg.
Yeah. So, my idea really was always to move up vertically in the value chain, because the agriculture value chain is farmers, then processors, which is the food packers, then it's the wholesalers, okay, who are distributing, and then it's the retail guys. Farmers, they earn the least, okay? You farm your cabbage 12 weeks to keep it on land from the time of seedling. I'm not even counting the seedling time. From germination to seedling. From seedling to cabbage, it's 12 weeks. Okay, we say between 10 and 12 weeks, okay? You have to water it. You have to fertilize. You have to prepare the soil first. You have to hire somebody to do that all the time, pay for your electricity, you know, Eskom doing what it's doing now. And after those 12 laborious weeks, you go to sell your cabbage. And somebody says to you, "I'm paying you 6 rand for this cabbage." What are you going to do?
You take the 6 rand.
Yeah, you can't take it back home. You can't sell it to someone else. Once you've taken it off the field, it's dying now, you know? So you get rid of it. By the time Saul goes to whatever supermarket to go buy a cabbage, how much is it?
12 rand.
It's 20 rand.
Jeez.
Go there today and check how much your cabbage is. So what happened between 6 rand and 20 rand?
Value chain.
Who's the
transport?
The question that we don't ask ourselves is, people, the government and everybody always say, black people go back to farm, you make money, but they don't talk about the value chain. Who's between the 6 rand and the 20 rand? Who's making that money? There's somebody sitting in an office somewhere, typing something, moving product from one end to the end and making all the money. Okay?
Without even watering a single cabbage.
No. And all the people, they always say, black farmers, go to the land, go farm. We'll give you back your land. Get your 5 hectares, 2 hectares, but show me the black retailer. Where's the black retailer? As the black farmer, when you go now and you get 100 hectares to plant maize, where are you going to take your maize?
Pick and pay.
Yeah. Oh. Who's making pap? Something that we eat all the time. Who's making it? Who's milling your pap? Go into your supermarket when you live here today and walk all 20 of those aisles and find the black product.
And you get in, and it's not like there aren't any black suppliers.
Or producers,
It's just that they won't let you in there.
No. You go into any supermarket today, I promise you, when you live here, go in any supermarket just down here, move forward, and find a black product. From the fresh produce to the meat to popcorn.
Zero.
Nothing.
A few.
Zero. Nothing. Few. Zero.
Ah, man, no more fire, man.
There's no more fire in retail.
Is it?
No.
No, as Boo says, he just made a deal with
with
checkers and...
I saw that.
So big up to them.
But they're very few. I get the point being made here.
Yeah, there's nothing.
Alcohol is much easier, bro. Alcohol is much easier.
Yeah, I mean, you know...
To put on the shelves is much easier.
It's much easier.
When you, with the network you have, you know, amongst your other farmers, which happen to be white Afrikaners, doesn't that make it easier for you to get your product in retail?
Yeah, that's what people always say. They're like, Mo, you have this product, man, and you have... created this package. Why aren't you trying to get into
pick and pay?
Pick and pay and stuff. I'm like, dude, I want to be the pick and pay for black farmers.
Yeah.
This is why I started the journey I started 20 years ago. Okay. I came up into the game to create a brand that will become the biggest food black brand in this country.
Let's do it, man.
Okay? Yeah, let's do it, the store, bro.
Let's do it.
See? So right now at the present moment, I'm probably about 2 weeks away from opening in Kagiso.
Ah, whoa.
Yeah. Backwild is picking up.
What is it called, man?
Backwild. Yeah, Backwild, like a hip-hop term, Backwild.
Can you do deliveries, man? I'm in Centurion,
I'm
bro.
I can't drive to Kagiso. For everyone. Next. This is what the basis of this business is. Look, Backwild. I've studied this business in and out, okay?
Beautiful. So, love it, man.
From like 2014 or so on, I started developing the packaging, the branding, trying to put it out there, trying to see how it worked. And then I had an opportunity to get into spas in Bloemfontein. I also got into Pick and Pays and so on. But, man, they don't take you serious, man.
Yeah,
they'll never take you serious, you know?
Yeah.
So Morfire has been doing so well for so many years, but only now they get into supermarkets.
And if you get in, they won't allow you to bring your other brothers. No. You must be the only...
You must be the only one.
The only black.
Yeah.
And, what's the guarantee that Checkers is going to put Morfire in the front?
Of course. No, they have to put Prime.
Which is not even Prime. Which is not even scary.
Yeah. Well, do you really think they're going
to
put
it's because there's a white person who bought the rights to Prime in SA.
Yeah, in SA,
so they're making money.
In all honesty, we all want to look out for our brothers.
Yeah.
Why is it wrong for them to look out for their brothers?
Yeah.
Why would Pick and Pay, that's been running for 1967, dump the farmers that have been supplying them since time, to make space for you, MacG.
100%.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Kagiso, where's this place, man? Where's website?
Yeah, it's right in the middle of township called Zulu Jampo. It was an old supermarket that used to be owned by the Joko family. I think they built it in 1989. When I walked into the store to lease it, there was a poster written by the matriarch, you know. She said, you know, after 32 years of service, thank you guys for... And I was like, 32 years? His mama has been opening here at 6 o'clock every morning for 32 years.
Wow.
It's commitment. Long hours, 7 days a week. Are we really ready as a people to really take on those spaces and compete?
And okay? All the stuff in there is your stuff?
Where? In the store.
In the store.
Yeah, that's what... No. What will happen is, when I open, okay, the first store, like I say...
Yeah.
I have a portion in Randfontein where I'm beginning to farm there.
Got
fortunately, they've given me space too.
Got you.
And then, you know, there's another farm in Talton. I'm talking to the guy, my cousin Sabelo is farming there. There's another guy, Bruce. He has a farm somewhere else. So I was just trying to connect the guys around you.
Got you.
Because my biggest network is back in the north.
Yes.
Yeah, but the whole idea of creating a retail is to open space for my brothers and sisters to come into the game, okay?
Oh,
yeah, so that it's that's not even amazing. About one store. It has to be the first black franchise that is in every hood.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
I always look back and say, why is Richard Maponya's store not a franchise?
Mm.
Instead, his name has become a mall that's full of white people inside. Okay? But I can't blame him. I understand where he came from and how far he's pushed the boundaries.
Mm.
Instead of pointing fingers, it's time for me to take the baton. And push it to the next level.
Wow.
That's why I say two generations, because I don't think I'll reach the level of Food Lovers Market in my lifetime.
Sure.
But we need to push there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And what I've realized in the meantime is people like it, you know, like, yeah, you're doing great, Mo. Like, okay,
come
support. Put a million in the table, let's push.
Mm.
Ish, my brother, ish. Nobody wants to risk their money for something that is our own, okay?
Bro, tell me, with the fruits, ne?
Yeah.
Why do the Woolies ones taste different from...
No, they don't.
For real?
Yeah. It's the lights. It's the cool air.
Hey, you're banned, bro. Banned,
the packaging.
It's the same fruit.
It's the same tamati that you are buying at the taxi rank.
No way.
What number grades? How do the grades work? The grading? And what determines the grading?
It's just big English, bruh. Just big English, okay? Yeah, it's just
grade
big
A.
Yeah, just big English, bruh. It's big English.
It no, the grapes nice. Are seedless, though.
Yeah, I mean, Woolies has farmers, okay?
Okay.
That everyone, like... Checkers, they work through Freshmark.
Okay.
Freshmark does their fresh produce, and then they have their farmers that produce for them.
Mm.
Pick and Pay also has their own farmers that they are supporting and so on. Mm. But even Woolies have their farmers. Mm. You'll find different kind of products to other stores, because Woolies tends to import things from Israel.
So okay. Even the grapes, the seedless ones. Ne?
Yeah, some of the products that you'll find that you don't find anywhere else.
Yes.
They're imported. Okay. Mm. Yeah, you know, and the people, BDS was fighting it all the time, but it's neither here nor there. But even the people who are in the country doing like specialized farming, they will be attached to such markets.
Got you.
Yeah, then they will get what it's worth, their rent's worth, you know? Mm. Yeah, so it's very easy to, if you are the right guy doing the right thing, to go and say, hey, Mo, you know, I'm growing snails.
Yes.
You know, who eats snails? But
there's a market.
Yeah, and then I can make space for you. So this is what I really want to get my mind into, creating such a thing. You know, for my brothers to be able to come up with such crazy ideas.
Yeah, they haven't figured out Mashonjas yet.
You see what I'm saying?
Call it something else.
Yeah,
you see
what I'm saying? They're making up Akunya now.
They're making up Akunya.
Yeah, they're going to make up
Akunya. And our fun, air fryer or something. Our fun.
Not only will they move into issues like Makunyas, but they're actually fighting to come into the township. And the villages.
Oh, yes, Woolies, yeah.
Well, not Woolies, but everybody else. I mean, you save. Mm.
Quick something. Pick and pay now.
Quick, quality save, yes. Quality save.
Checkers has been with you save and they contain it.
Yeah, they rebrand a bit, but they know. You know why they want to go there? Mm. Because where does all the grand money go?
The
food.
In the castles, in the hoods.
In the hood.
Yeah,
Yeah, in the hood and in the villages. And who's taking all that money? It's the foreign nationals.
But my friend.
Yeah, they take all of it. And it's the billions.
Yeah.
It's billions.
Yeah.
Billions,
yeah.
So the big guys.
So that's why they're creating so many malls. That's
why they have to go there. You know, to go collect the tax money that they pay.
Jeez.
That's wild. That is wild.
So there's a race for that market.
Yeah, and it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know? So if
and
we are
get, and to get space in those malls, you are
tough, see,
tough, bro.
It's tough. It's tough because by the time the mall is built, all the tenants, it's full.
Yeah, bro, they're already not even auctioning, but they're already selling space in malls,
for malls that aren't built.
Yeah, that will be built in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
So this thing's not racial. You know, when Ackerman bought Pick and Pace, things started with 4 stores in Cape Town.
Yeah, 4.
Yeah, and at that time, he had been fired by Checkers. But Checkers was big because it was almost, I think it started in 55. So Checkers was the big store in the country at the time, in 67. So he had ways, you know, that he had learned in the States of undercutting them, you know, buying stock well in advance so that when prices go up, he has stock and then he sells it and undercuts them in prices, you know. And then they made Checkers came up with a model of saying, look, Ackerman is only in Cape Town. We have stores across the country. In Cape Town, we're going to bring down our prices and work at a loss to kick him out of the game.
Whoa.
Okay? Just to work him out. So, and how he conquered that is then he quickly ran to PE, found another store to go find, to make them fight on, you know, light.
All the.
Yeah, light a lot of fires so they can fight on many fronts, you know? And from there, then you moved into Joburg. And they had to find, but point is, it's the capitalist system. It's nothing to do with race, okay? It's not about a black or white thing. It's the game, okay? Yeah, in the capitalist system, they eat the rich, they eat the poor. If you go into the farming business, you'll see how many white farmers are actually getting out of business.
No way.
Because the risk is so high.
No way.
Okay, one mess up, one drought, one disaster, you're out. Boom. Yeah, just and guess who's buying them out?
The rich, the bigger farmers.
Otherwise,
the richer farmers.
They're buying them and they become their farm managers and what. And,
that's wild,
you know,
man.
And in their space.
That's buckwild.
It's buckwild, you know. I come up to the buckwild thing because people are like, just name me a man, Kamla Mulkasi. But buckwild has always been about... you know, this whole breaking the buck thing from the slavery era when you know, the term buckwild just means uncontrollable. You know, I don't want to be controlled. Mm. I'm not owned by anybody and I want to change things. Mm. What is the term?
I get what you mean.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
yes,
you know, it's just about changing the status quo.
Disruptor. Yes.
Yeah, disruptor. This is the word. You know, that's the term Buckwild, where it comes from. But the way I spell it with the B-A-K, it comes from my dad's farm, which is
Bakau. You both are rappers. So
we took them.
Words are your love language.
So, you know. Hey. Yeah, so that's where we are. I think in about 2 or 3 weeks, we'll be opening up.
Oh, no,
and,
man.
Once I'm operational, I think I'll go online.
Bro, you need to make more noise about that, man. That is huge, bro.
Yeah, bro. That's
why I thought to myself, you know, these brothers, man, Banzola guy, you know, put me on. And I always say people, Choppies, you guys know Choppies?
Yeah.
Choppies, yeah, they're big in Botswana.
Yeah, Choppies, I mean, started like around 2000, you know? Yeah,
wow.
And this guy, he just rocked up from a plane, came with his sandals like they normally do, and saw an opportunity. Built the first one, built, and right now they have over 250 stores in SADC.
That's insane.
Who owns Choppies?
Yeah, some family Botswana. I think they're Indian. I'm not sure.
Wow.
Yeah, but that since
goes back to what he's saying. It's not a race thing.
No.
Yeah, it's like who's willing to put in the work.
Yeah, I mean, even here in South Africa, who really owns the retail is the Asians. Okay, we just see the big brands because they are big shows and easy to target them.
The Asians or agents.
Asians, like the Pakistanis, the Bangladeshis, and of course the indentured in the Indians have been here all around. When you go to my town in Muff Town, the whole town is owned by Indians. Every store in every street.
Wow.
You know. You know,
they're quiet.
No, they're quiet. Mm. They're very quiet.
Chowing all that money.
Yeah, well, they do business. But all the time I always say to my people, where is the CSI? Where is the CSI? Where are these people building a school, a clinic, or putting up bursaries? They just take all the money and go. So why are we expecting other people to do our job? It's me who's supposed to open Buckwild and give black kids bursaries to go to school.
And learn farming and learn agriculture.
That's it. We have to put our hand up as South Africans and occupy spaces and stop pointing fingers. And just get things done, you know? So we don't do that. We spend a lot of time finding faults, which is what's really bringing us where we are right now, you know? And but I have hope for this country because, man, this is like the greatest place to be on earth.
Yeah, it is.
Let me tell you why.
It is.
In 2005, when I released Fog Off, okay, I had a meeting with some big, big, big shot comrade. You know, there was the time of Thabo Mbeki. And there was order in that time. You just didn't say things and like people do now. And we had a long discussion about it. Yeah, but what? And I gave all my reasons why I wrote the song and what, and how I'm influenced by Tupac and what, and all of that. And, you know, at the end of our discussion, because, you know, rappers, you won't out-debate us. I will debate you forever. So he said to me, you know, this is the problem with this country because there's too much freedom here. There's just way too much freedom. If you had been anywhere else, including just here in Swaziland or Botswana or even Lesotho here, they would have dealt with you big time already by now.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about America or Russia or just here.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
That's only true.
You don't
country.
Drop a song like that in Zim.
No,
you can't.
Are you crazy?
Yeah.
No, you won't even last. You won't see the next morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would have picked you up and you'll never be heard of ever again.
Gone.
That's it. You'll disappear.
You'll go lie next to your cabbage.
You'll be swimming with the crocodile.
We'll find you there next week. Still lying with the same cabbage.
So you know, and then I realized at that point that, you know, there's something unique about our democracy and the way it is, you know, even though we are too free, but it creates something that Africans have never had, a chance to check themselves out. You have to check yourself in this country because you can just overdo things. There's a guy who came here once and started talking about smashing people and now he's in trouble. Okay. So you have to check yourself in this country. Nobody's going to check you out.
That made it to the farms.
Yeah, yeah.
That episode.
Now you guys are big.
I was telling you some more Juke Juba Buckwild. Send me acid and sweet. Only healthy foods. Veggies and apples, fruits, fresh produce.
So I realized at that time that we have something very unique here. You have a government that is actually willing to allow us to say whatever the hell we want. You know, we had 10 years of Jacob Zuma where people said all kinds of horrible things to him. Not once he ever, even in parliament, he just laughed.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and it just shows you the kind of caliber of leadership we have in this country. Mm. Tolerance. Okay. Mm. Yeah. And it's not tolerated anywhere else. Mm. There's some kids that try to do that thing in Botswana of disrupting parliament. Hey, they got hit. Hey, quickly.
For real. Quickly. The EFF.
Yo. Ah, they didn't see it. They didn't even make it to parliament. Yeah, they dealt with them fast.
Swiftly.
Moving
in. In this country, you have that space to express yourself. And this is what makes it the greatest country in Africa, you know.
Especially as a black person.
Especially as a black person. There's an opportunity. If you want to build a black world, go ahead. You'll struggle to do whatever, but no one is going to stop you.
Yeah.
There's no law that stops you for being...
That's so true.
Yeah, if you want to be a MacG and build the biggest podcast in this country, do it. Get yourself some data and push.
But South Africans would rather go on Twitter and talk about why this podcast doesn't work, but not build their own.
Yeah.
Since you know I get it.
Yeah, I mean...
You know how to do a podcast, okay?
Yeah.
So go do your own. Let's see how many numbers you get.
Yeah. So, there's your own platform. Like do your thing. Yeah, you see, that's what I'm talking about, this finger pointing that we have, which is so bad, you know? Mm. Yeah, I mean, I interact a lot with white farmers, of course, you know? And growing up, I was playing rugby at school and we had this serious hate for these white people because it was a war every time. This is before yellow cards and red cards, you know?
Yeah.
And growing up and getting to learn them, you know, there's a guy that I'm working with now, Robert, the Pretoria's families, you know. And he comes to me and he says, Mo, my granddad told me that he was working with the Morula family, which is my family, in the 1950s. Wow. And my granddad told me that. And my dad told me he was working with your dad and your uncles and what from the 70s and so on. And I come here today because... my family has told me you are good people.
Hmm.
And for that reason, put my money on the table. Let's go.
Hmm.
Just like that.
Beautiful.
Yeah, we don't even get it among us black people.
No, never. Who's going to do that?
No. No, we don't.
Is this the money that's funding Buckwild? White money?
No. My Buckwild is funded by black money. Big up to all the people who are putting in money in Buckwild.
But even if it was, bro, it's a good cause.
Yeah, no, I'll take it. Yeah. I'll take it. It's not a race thing, like I say. Mm.
If
Robert wanted to put money in Buckwild...
But remember, he who funds something owns it, you know, depending on what deal you have.
Yeah, true.
It's no different to what I'm going through right now, you know? Every time you go out there, you look for an investor to come and bring money... Yeah.
Sorry, we just
is that fan not too loud, man?
No, we asked him earlier. Yeah. Said it's fine.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We're back on.
You come with a great idea.
Mm.
You put it on the table. Like, I want to do a podcast, guys. Put in some money. And I was like, okay, I'll put in some money. But now you don't shoot in Rundbeck. Now you must shoot in... So like, dude, I just asked you to put in the money so we can get going. Mm. Not for you to change the whole seating. Mm. Change the table. It must be red. It's like... just believe in someone, give them the opportunity to push.
Mm.
Don't now take over the idea and try to make it yours. And that's, even black people do that, you know? Mm. Yeah, so it's been very difficult to find investors to come on board, but I'm still open, you know, like I'm trying to build a...
So what you're saying, all the shit we talk about, ANC and stuff, they would have gotten rid of us a long time ago.
Yeah.
In another country.
Yeah, of course. You must realize that when you go home today, you must realize, actually, if it was anywhere in this continent, even in Namibia I would have not...
And we trash talk them, dog.
Yeah. Not true. That's
you
true,
would have not made it past the first month.
Mm.
Yeah, and that's the reality of where we're living. And then I realized for myself that...
No, but you know what? I was actually watching a clip. Trevor Noah was doing an interview on 702.
Yeah.
And he said it's not much trash talking. It's just that South Africans are used to a standard and caliber.
Yeah.
So when people don't meet that, they'll call them out for it.
Yeah.
So it's not really much trash talking. It's just checking our politicians in. Say we're used to electricity, why is there no electricity? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, but, I get that.
In the context of the world, especially on this continent, it's just too much freedom. You couldn't even ask me. You can't even, there's no electricity in Nigeria.
Yeah.
But you try and go talk. The soldiers can't pick you up. And that's it.
Nah, I get you.
You see what I'm saying?
Mo, let's come back to the music, man.
Okay.
Hip hop, who are you fucking with the new guys, man?
Hey, yo, hey. Yeah, you put me in a blind spot, bruh. But, you know, I'm always following Motsoko Listas. First of all, because they're my homies. #1, I don't know why the game is sleeping on #1, you know. There's this group #1. They're doing amazing stuff, you know. I'm loving what they're doing. There's this kid called Streets. It's coming up. He's doing some nice stuff. This kid called VX. You know, it's good. I've been also messing with these Pretoria boys. I think, like, where they come from, you know, Motsoko was very big in Pretoria in the early days, you know, because they could hear the language. They really fucked with what we were doing. And seeing them turn the whole style into a Pretoria thing now, it's amazing, you know, what 25K are doing.
Would you say vocalistic is Motsoko, ne?
No.
Oh, he's not.
Okay. Maglera? You fucking with him?
Yeah, yeah, Maglera is.
He's Motsoko.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, but Maglera, they come and say they have their own style in Klerksdorp. They call it Strata. Yeah, it's own start, you know. So, but what is really Motsoko is we've always had that debate. Is it Setswana rap or a certain type of Setswana rap? Or can you do Motsoko in Pedi or in Zulu or in Xhosa? Can you still call it Motsoko then? Or is Motsoko a Mavtown thing? Is it something that only Mavtown guys do? Because there's a big Motsoko in Botswana. But it has never gained the same prominence. You remember about Zeus coming out back in the days, Bosca and so on. But it seems like the fields have never leveled out. So Motsoko remained a subgenre. More than a subgenre, it really became like an elitist kind of genre.
Yeah, I get you, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's why it never grew.
Yes. Okay, yeah, I get that's you. Why it never really grew beyond the 5, 6, 7 people who were doing it, you know? And it's very difficult, well, not difficult, but it would be disingenuous to not, as much as I wouldn't want to, but I have to mention Casper.
Yeah.
Because Casper is a Motsokolista.
Yeah.
From his origins.
I don't think we'll see another Motsoko guy like Casper in a while.
Yeah. But do you know what is the funny thing? Casper has never come out and said Motsoko. Ever.
Oh, yes.
Whoa,
yes.
wait, no shit, way.
Yes. No.
Yes. Bam ti, bam to.
No, since yeah, then he's never... was. Since he blew up himself.
Isn't like the whole Prince of Mavtown and Motsoko.
What is Prince of Mavtown?
A gig he does, like, I don't know, once every year, annually.
No.
It's not Prince of Motsoko.
It's Prince
of Mavtown.
Wait, Casper Nyeves has never said Motsoko.
No. Never since, not since he's blown
up. Does Motsoko feel like they are old Casper saying Motsoko?
No. Casper put in the work.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, when Casper first moved in, he stayed with me and Tumelo in my place there in 2000.
He stayed with you as well?
Yeah.
Kanti, who did he not stay with?
Well, who did we not all stay with? We all lived like that.
Your family.
Yeah, we all lived like that. Everybody has lived at Tasso's house. Everybody has lived at Jeba's house. Yeah. Everybody, and when I got my own house, Morafi at some point had a what they call Morafi house. And at any given point, there were 20 people living there. You know, rappers, graphic designers. And so we always had that. We used to call it embassy.
And right now,
idea, you know, we get our guys, they come stay with us, help them get into the game. You know?
Yeah. And right now, everybody's just doing their own thing by themselves.
Yeah, I think, like I say, you know, Casper was the last, and we're so happy that he became so successful because he epitomizes that era, you know. And he, fortunately, joined Jeba at the height of his game.
Yeah, so you know, learned everything.
What I learned from Jeba and what he learned is two different things. Yeah, you know, he came in when Jeba was that big, you know, and the education he got from him is
he still practices
none.
Those things today,
even till today, you know,
tell.
Even how he markets himself.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he gave him all his blueprint, you know, and so he was fortunate to that. But the best thing he ever did for himself is never to walk away from this limitation of Motsoko. Okay, and just do hip hop, just put himself.
But I wish he gave him a thicker skin, man, because he's very emotional, Casper, man. Very emotional.
Isn't it a rapper thing, though?
Nah, he's worse, rap, bro.
Because he's saying, but rappers should get it because rappers generally dish it out, and you grow up under rap, battling, very competitive. Yeah. It's a contact sport, hip hop. So you don't expect someone to be that sensitive coming from that sport called hip hop.
Yeah, I think it's enough to just big him up for what he has done for me. But that's just about it.
Drop him.
I can't go beyond giving him his props.
You
got a question, man.
Oh, man. Yeah. Farming, bro. Like, so if one wants their kid to get into farming or someone says, you know what?
Yeah.
I've always been fascinated. What's my first step, you know, to immerse myself in that world?
You just drive by any of these streets, you find these guys who are selling these flower things that are designing these Zim guys that, you know, go out there to a nursery, buy yourself some pot, the potting soil, and go into even a supermarket anywhere, buy seeds, put seed in soil, cover it, put water, you're a farmer.
Wow.
Finish.
Oh, just start in your backyard.
Start.
Love that. Yeah. You know, love that. Love that. Don't make it seem like
that's
brain surgery.
If you're a real farmer, the food that starts in that little thing, and you see I can grow this thing and I can make a cabbage, then you can get a bigger idea. It's like, okay, maybe I must get a bigger plot. Okay, then I must get...
But you started.
You start. You start, you know?
Love it, man.
Buy 2 sheep. Keep them there. See if you can take care of them. Oof. If you can't, then you know you're not a farmer. Leave it.
Yeah. Any book recommendations?
Mine.
No. Oh, you got a book?
Yes, I have a book.
Nice. Yeah.
Damn, what's it called?
It's called A Walk in the Park, but it's on Amazon.
Nice.
So it's a PDF?
Yeah.
Dope. Nice. Yeah, a Walk in the Park by...
Bro, a lot of people are going to be asking how they can get in touch with you. I can already see it.
Yeah, because people are going to want to put their stuff in Park Wild and in
farm. They want to know more about farming.
Farming, yes, true.
I answer too many questions. I'll only feel those who have money to put into Park Wild. Then I'll respond to you. If you want to ask questions, don't call me.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
So come to Park Wild.
Go to the government.
I love your honesty, man. Don't call him. He's tired.
No, go to the government. They have answers for that. Yeah. But if you got money to put into Park Wild, call me and let's share the money.
When it's all said and done, what are you going to be remembered as, man?
Farmer. Mm. Yeah. I think the essence of what I do is the farming that's in me. You know, people always say, but you're sitting in the... In the city, like, being a farmer is not about having to prove that I'm wearing khakis every day. And no, it's the mentality that I have towards the idea of food security and stability, you know. So I want to be grown to have changed the game in terms of farming. Because my grandfather was a farmer, his son was a farmer, his farm was a farmer. And when I became a farmer, I'm like, what's so different to what these guys have done? I want to do something different. I want to build a name. So one day, kids will go out there and they'll see Park Wild as a food brand, like a ZZ2,
Phew.
Or like Simba, or like what other food brands, you know?
Yeah.
Don't pay attention,
ZZ2 is from my hood.
Yeah.
We pass them every time we go to vendor.
Yeah. Everybody, when you talk ZZ2, they talk tomato. But tomato grow everywhere. Everybody grows tomato. But when people think tomato, they think ZZ2.
They think tomatoes are ZZ2.
That's the power of marketing. Okay. Yeah, you need to really put it in people's head that ZZ2 is the go-to guy. Yeah. But for all you know, ZZ2 is buying tomatoes from Sol.
Yeah.
Sol is growing those tomatoes. They just get them, put them in their bag.
Man, you make me want to farm when I get home, man.
I'm happy that every time I go out, I can convince one more person to take this up. Because today, even though I'm not the most successful farmer out there, I know lots of very successful farmers who decided, screw this engineering. Moses farming is the way to go. I'm resigning, taking my money, buying a farm. I'm doing it. And they've done it. A lot of them, not even a few. Their kids, they're not kids now, they're men. In 2019, I wake up in the morning, they had my door, knock, knock, hey, brah. We come from Taung College. We just did our diploma. We need to do our practicals. We've been Motsokolista since we were in grade 4. We've listened to you every day, and we went to college because of you. Now we have to do our practicals. There was nowhere in the world we were going to go but here.
Wow.
And I didn't even have space for them or anything to do. I even had a place for them to sleep. Mm. They're like, dude, you the guy, you gave us this dream, help us. Okay? Till today, they have graduated, of course. The government has hired them. They're working. They're doing fantastic work for the food security business, for a component of the department. But they're still my mentees. Okay?
Wow.
They're still my mentees. We still do mentorship together. And very much, I've sold them the dream of Park Wild. That... Guys, once Park Wild built, you will be able to be those farmers who are building this thing. Mm. And you guys can bring in more guys so we can build this thing. For long, we should be self-sufficient. We should have enough produce on our own to sustain Park Wild without going outside of our circle.
Yeah,
it's been a 20-year building plan. So it's, you know, us as Africans, we have this unnecessary expectation that a young kid must go to school, graduate, get a job, and be defined by the age of 30. Get a wife and, you know. And that's how we dream. As a black child, you cannot say to your parents, I have a 60-year dream.
They look at you like, oh, you fucking crazy.
Everybody in the community, yeah. Yeah, by the time you're 30, you must be either having a little car and a little pontoki, or you're a failure.
A little pontoki?
Yeah, like a little house, you know, you must go get a bond.
Because he's from the farm. Oh, yeah. Every house is small.
Yeah, you must get a flat, or you must really show that you own daughter must, you know, or you're a failure.
Yeah.
And then they put you down. But you, when you look at the Chinese wall, how many years did it take to build?
Mm.
When do we have Chinese wall as Africans saying we have a project that's going to take 4 generations?
Mm.
That means you're going to start and die without it being finished, no matter how long you live.
Jesus.
Do we have anything like that?
We don't, bro.
A pyramid, something.
Hey.
No, we don't dream like that. And everybody else who
is... We want to see it in our lifetime.
Now.
We can't water something and die for our kids to continue watering it.
No. Then I'm going to water this thing and I must have the responsibility of teaching my child to water this thing, because when I die, for it to happen, he must or she must continue watering this thing. That's why I'm always with my kids, okay? They hustle with me every day. Okay, they are backwilders. They're at the shop, they hate it, but even now when it's not working, they're there every day.
Downstairs.
Just like...
Even now they're here,
Even now they're here.
I take them with me, like my dad did with me, okay? On Wednesday when you guys go to school, my dad took me to cattle auction.
So you don't have a side chick then?
Sure, huh?
You don't have a side chick?
Side chick.
Mm.
Hey, my man. Ish. Ooh.
King.
It's a chick saying, we can't talk about rapping. Ish,
ooh. Hey, what will you
hey, you threw me off again. No.
He takes his kids everywhere, so he must not have a side
chick. Yeah, you can't take them there. Fuck around.
No,
find out.
Let me tell you, when I was in my 20s and 30s, it seems like I would live forever. And I'm 42 now, and I started to feel, especially since Jeba left, I really started to now feel my mortality. And I think to myself, this country is so dangerous and it's so violent. Anything can happen to you any day. And if I was to go now, my dream would have not even been close to being realized, okay? And I can't even expect anybody to take it forward. So every day from now is a bonus. That's why I must be 100% backward every day.
Love it, every day.
Love it, okay? Man.
I'm running out of time, really.
Yeah,
so, I always think to myself, the body's creaking, the what. Like, I have at least 20 more years to push.
Yeah.
20 years to push. If I can put another 20 years of hard work, I know I can turn this thing around.
Love it, you know? Man.
But all the people who have shown me love and support all these years, my family especially, they've never doubted me, you know? My brother, my sisters, my parents. And I was like, just leave him. I think he has an idea of where he's trying to go. And that has been the biggest motivation for me to say, you know, because when you start off, you're like, what are you doing? Are you rapping? Are you fine? Are you confused? Wow. You know, and all the time I would tell my dad, look, I understand what I'm doing is confusing you, but don't impose your confusion on me.
Mm.
For me, it makes sense. Mm. Starts with rap this side, starts with farming this side. It builds a pyramid. At some point, rap and farming is one thing.
Oh,
I'm different from other rappers because I'm a farmer, but I'm different from all the other farmers because I'm a top rapper. MC. Not just a rapper, top MC.
Elite MC.
One time.
That's rap life for you.
That's it. That's the definition of what Park was teaching me in the 90s.
Mm.
Okay. That's
shout out.
Yeah.
Man.
Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise for Momole, man.
Shout out.
Hey, I'm glad we ran out of guests, eh?
This was a beautiful one.
Very fruitful.
Yeah.
It's like feeding some knowledge in your brain, you know.
Watering our brains.
Yeah.
Shout out to brothers.
Yes.
You know, the responsibility of food security belongs to everyone. Doesn't matter what your profession is. The issue of food security is everyone's responsibility. Okay.
We out of here, man. Podcast and chill. Boom.
School farm.
Beautiful, man.
Welcome to Black Excellence. Do not fear, for if you do, just sip on some grandeur. And if you still do, ask ourselves, what would Mapapunzi do? Pagama chila, itlesha lefiki. Ungo yig, even when they ask you, how sabiin, do not fear. For if you do, just say, Anistivi. This is the medicine of censorship. This is the pill. Which one is that one? Podcast and chill.